Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this December the 30th on the West Coast, now December the 31st, or New Year's Eve, on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd also like to welcome all those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, and we know you're already celebrating your New Year's Eve, and so just hang with us. We're going to have a good time tonight. Before I bring on tonight's guest, most of you know who that is, I just want to address the issue of an ever-changing world. People are trying to reestablish contacts from many years ago because they're finding themselves out of work. And they're hoping that that they can find a job maybe along the lines of what they did at a prior time in their life, and something that maybe they thought wasn't so good at the time. And when they realize how they've been dumped by a corporation that's taken their operations overseas, hiring children, even slave workers to fill the shoes of what they did for that company, they're incensed and sort of desperate. And I want to start off with some music that will first open your ears and open your eyes, and then offer some possibilities as to how things might change.
I'm having all the fun in the world.
Larry's not with us anymore. He went on, you know. Yeah. He bit the big one. Well, he's got his own little piece of head.
Thank you. I hear you're mad about Ruby. Like your eyes, I like him too. He's an artist, a pioneer. We've got to have some music on the new frontier.
Words of Donald Fagen, The New Frontier. That recording was made some 28 years ago. How prophetic he was and still is, still performing with Steely Dan. Now it's time to invite back tonight's guest. He is a former U.S. Marine from 1967 through 1977. He hosts his own website, elequity.com. His show heard on blogtalkradio.com and on the Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world is called A Marine's Disquisition. This gentleman was introduced to me by the late Marianne Ponder, and we're going to dedicate tonight's show to her. And I welcome back to the show my good friend Drew Malone Raines III. Drew, welcome to the show.
Hey, to all my Marines around the world, Semper Fi. And you know I'm a United States Marine, guys. I want to tell you. I really appreciate you inviting me to the show tonight because I've had one heck of a great day. I've been up about 40 hours. And I'm glad that you took the time to give honor to Marianne Ponder, who brought us together many years ago. It's been over 3 years that she brought us together. You know that?
Yep, I do.
And I know she's out there pounding. I can just see her right now sitting there in the spirit world pounding the disc. I know those guys. I got into you.
I'm going to start out with something, and this is rather lighthearted. I hope you don't take this the wrong way. But you've heard about all the talk about this don't ask, don't tell policy in the military. And it seems the Pentagon has been running some trial commercials. They've been doing screen tests with certain candidates, and they did one for the Marines. I'd like to play this for you. I don't think you've heard it because
you... No, you want me to throw up right now, don't you? Okay, go ahead.
Have a listen, okay?
You, the proud, the Marine. It's certainly not for everybody, but if you're out of school and ready for something special and a choice of over 100 career fields to choose from, today's Marines may be what you're looking for. You'll be part of a team on the job serving around the world. The challenge is great, but the reward is greater. If you think you're ready for a new kind of adventure, call your recruiter today and find out how you can become one of the few, the proud, the Marines. How was that? It was good for me. Was it good for you?
We'll give you a call.
Thank you.
Oh, God. Well, I got news for you guys. That's what they're putting out there. You give me a break.
Well, somebody put this up on YouTube. I think it's a spoof. But...
Oh, yeah, I understand that. Yeah, we'll give you a call. We'll give you a call when we need somebody for target practice.
What they didn't tell us is that was Barney Frank directing it. And
on the same line, since this is a show for joy, I mean, I've got, ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand something. Don Nikoloff presented me with a studio mic, a studio system that I've been extremely proud to have, and it really helped me do my show and allows me to come on this show and bring forth a quality sound instead of the old system that I ran for 5 years, which was nothing more than a $9 headset with a microphone. But I'm going to tell you, the Wind Talkers, ladies and gentlemen, it's not a network in the way many of you feel that it's a network. It is a loosely group of radio stations spread out all over the world they're owned by former United States Marines who married and have left the United States when they married because they married a lady in another country. And in four instances, these Marines married women that were the daughters of radio station owners, broadcasters. And in one instance, a gentleman he picked up the gamut back in 1993 when the socialist government fell in the United Socialist Soviet States and put together a radio station in Sochi, Russia. These independent stations loosely formed together. They don't have a network in the sense of what modern networks are, but they have a voice where they contact each other by emails, by phone calls, primarily through Skype. And those of you that don't know what Skype is, just type it in your search engine. But make a long story short, these guys literally, when I got dismissed off of a talk show, I was asked to come on Wind Talkers. And it was at that time, it was about 34, 35 stations. And they asked me that, we need somebody that's got the guts to get out here and yell and scream and talk about the problems that are going on for the military. And therefore, yours truly was elected. All of us are financed by our own personal income. Nobody's making any money out of this per se. Bobby and Robert barely pay the bills in New Zealand. Matthew and Larissa, he lives on his Marine Corps retirement salary, and that subsidizes their radio station in Sochi, Russia. Now, Doug and his wife, he inherited a better obstacle. His wife was the daughter of an Irishman who married a Russian 50 years ago and had a radio station there in Northern Ireland. And Doug kind of inherited what his father-in-law put together and expanded it in the last 30 years. He has three, well, maybe it's 20 years. He's got three stations together, but two of them are substations that broadcast. One is over Doug, don't shoot me. I forgot. I had one of those little thoughts in Scotland. Okay. on the island of Scotland, the North Island of the Scottish Isles. And the other two stations are located there in the six counties of Northern Ireland. And he puts out a great signal. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we as Wind Talkers have put together other Marines that have moved together or moved around the world, and we've united together with a couple of other military people that are of other United States military background in other countries, like Costa Rica. We've got a retired lieutenant colonel down there that has a radio station. Well, and it's not a radio station like you know of a radio station. It is a radio station he runs out of the back room of his house. And he plays a lot of music. He plays a whole lot of old-time radio. But he puts on about five talk shows every day. One of them happens to be mine. One of them happens to be Don Nikoloff. The other three are stations that he chooses. Well, I know one of them happens to be D.B. Kidd. And on Saturdays, he brings on a woman out of San Francisco, which is where he was originally raised, called Babe in the Bunker. He gives a little fly in the ointments on Saturday and Sunday nights from San Francisco. And why I bring this all up to you is because we all have a good time. And Don Nikoloff wants to have a good time tonight. And solutions. Everybody talks about the doom and gloom. There are talk show hosts out here talking about how bad it is and that the world's coming to an end. And if you don't do this, if you don't send me money, if you don't buy this from me, you're going to die. You're going to rot in Hades. But the bottom line is, guys, follow the money. I mean, if a talk show host out there is ranting and raving, buy my videos and make all the copies you want. What is it really about with this guy? It's about buying his video. Granted, he is a watchman. Granted, he's got some great information, but it's really about money. And he brings on hosts like Bob Chapman. I did a show today, Thursday, the 30th day of December. And Bob Chapman did 1 hour, less 6 minutes for a commercial. A number of people that listened to my show sent me emails afterward telling me that in that 1 hour, Bob was able to talk more, get more information out, and bring forth better truth than he has in the last 3 weeks with this loudmouth out there who talks down to Bob, who uses Bob, and they noted it. And what bothers me here is, ladies and gentlemen, we're all out here together in this big fight against evil. It's all against evil. You follow the money, And I guarantee you, you're going to find somebody out there that's doing whatever they're doing because they want money. You look at Don Nikoloff. He's not doing this for money. You don't hear him begging and pleading for money and funds. You don't hear DV Kid asking you for a dime. You don't hear Babe in the Bunker in California. That's Barbara Simpson, for those of you that live in Yorba Linda. I kind of pick on Yorba Linda out there. The fellow Marines in Yorba Linda, you know what I'm talking about. But the bottom line is that most of us that bring the truth out here, we don't make any money out of this deal. This is only because we love America. And it's not just America. We as wind talkers, we love the countries in which we live, partake of the prosperity that's in those countries, and we speak the truth in those countries, and we try, and we really do attempt to let Americans know that stop being so dadgum arrogant. You may be the greatest country in the world at one time, and if you, the American people, unite together, you can be the greatest country in the world. But you've been lied to for so long. Wake up. The people in Russia don't live in huts. They don't live in poverty. They don't live hand to mouth with some of these pictures you see from some of these organizations that show some older woman with hardly any teeth in her mouth coming out of a little shanty that looks like it's from the 1930s USA in the Dust Bowl. Most people in Russia live as you and I do. All you got to do, anybody, the internet has opened you the door. All you got to do is take a picture. Look at the background pictures of the people in Sochi, Russia, or Kazan, Russia. Look at the pictures. Nice home. Now, they don't show you houses where people physically live, but they show overlays of the community from the mountainside. And you see the homes that are spread out, just like they're spread out in Savannah, Georgia, or like they're spread out in Shreveport, Louisiana, or Beaumont, Texas, or Wichita, Kansas, or how about Bozeman, Montana? People need to look at those photographs and look with a little brain in their head with eyes to see and eyes to read and understand. When you look at pictures from Kazan, Russia, and they show you the marina, and you see yachts, you see sailboats, you see rowboats, you see people walking around, there's nobody walking around with a gun behind their back, or there's not anybody standing on the dock with AK-47s and military all over the place. You look at the pictures from the airports in Moscow or in Stalingrad, or Leningrad, or St. Petersburg, depending on the name you want to call them. You go to places like Kiev in the Ukraine, or you go to Moldova, countries behind what we were once known as behind the Iron Curtain, and you don't see policemen frisking the citizens, manhandling their gentles. You don't see a man or a woman manhandling a woman's breast to make sure that she's 5'6", she's white, she's a little overweight, she wears a 44B or a 44C, or how about a triple C? They got to put their hands on it to see if they're real. And it's not a bomb. What you do see in Moscow, in Kiev, in Simferopol, Ukraine, in Sochi, Russia, in Moldova, in Estonia. What you do see in St. Petersburg is you see law enforcement officers politely walking through the terminals with sniffer dogs that are trained to sniff out explosives of all kinds. And what I'm trying to get you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, people in Europe live freer than we in America. America is the third most populated country in the world. But if you take the population away from America that live within 300 miles of a coastline, the population of America drops to one-fourth of what it is right now. You talk about solutions, Don Nikoloff, myself, and others talk about solutions. It's survival on how to grow your own food, how to hunt in the countryside. And what gets me here is, well, you yell and scream about, well, there's not anybody in Europe. They don't have guns. But when you listen to BBC News, you see that in France, the French government has called out the local hunters because the boar population is so great that it's devastating the maize. Quote, the maize is being destroyed by the boars, i.e. wild pigs. And they're having to hunt them down. So they're asking the local hunters to bring their guns in large quantities to hunt down the massive influx of boars. And the same holds true in England and in Russia. In Russia, remember Russia, the country that people don't have guns? Are you listening? It's laughable. Because Russia it's only got 157 million people, and yet they're the largest country in landmass in the entire world. You could put three Indians in Russia. You could put three United States in Russia. And yes, they do. Their cities are populated. The majority of their people do live in main cities. But you don't have to live in a major city in Russia. If you've got a little brains, you can have a nice farm and grow food. Electric bill. An electric bill. Yeah, you know, most of you have electric bill. You got a freezer in your house. You got a refrigerator. They have refrigerators and freezers in Russia for people that have the funds. Most people don't go out to the grocery store every day and buy their groceries. But what's laughable in my world, on Wind Talkers Radio Network, we talk about survival and the fact that America is about to be destroyed because of their arrogance, because of the failure of Americans to unite amongst themselves and help their neighbor. How many of you know your neighbor? I mean, do you even know your neighbor's last name? I'm the only white man on the block. Across the street from the six houses on my city block is what we laughingly call the science project, because it is a project. There's 147 apartments over there, and they all collect some form of welfare from the state. And the six houses on my block, six, with one church that has been deserted. I shouldn't say deserted. They sold their church to another church, and that church kind of grabbed all the congregation and closed down this church, and they made this church building a storehouse. But the six houses on the street we look at this science project across the street, and all six of us, what do we have? We've got pear trees, peach trees, lemon trees. I'm the one that's got the lemon trees. They didn't believe that I could grow lemons. But the bottom line is we've got peach trees, we've got pear trees, we've got pecan trees, we got my lemon tree, and I hope to put another one in next year. And I've got the only above ground garden, but everybody else grows something in their backyard. If nothing else, they grow tomatoes. But the big joke is on this whole block is Drew, the only white man on the block, knows everybody's first, last name, and how many children that these people have. Everybody on the block knows me. But nobody on the block knows the other four or five. We just had one of the women down the end of the street pass away last week. I was the only one to come down there with flowers and food on the very first day to give off my condolences. But at the same time, I gave out the blessings that she was in a better world than having to put up with this greed and corruption. I was invited back for the family reunion, and I didn't want to because I didn't know any of those people. I knew her. I knew the love that she had for her family and the love that she had for other people. How about you? How about you? Do you care about your neighbors? Have you thought about, you know, buying garden seeds? You don't have to have a 5 acres. You can grow turnip greens in what most people call their flower bed. You don't have to grow 40 acres of corn. You can put up 20 stalks of corn wherever the sun hits and stays on that stretch of land for more than 8 hours a day. Or okra. Things about survivability. And you can have fun. How many of you ever heard of Tina Marie? Don Nikoloff probably knows who I'm talking about.
Sure do.
Tina died this week. And she was 54 years old. And I mentioned that to a few of my Marine Corps buddies. And I played her songs, and they said, "Well, that's a beautiful song. What black actor, what black singer is that? The rhythm and blues she sings and the tone." And I laughed. Tina Marie was a white woman. She sang songs like Casanova Brown and Portuguese Love, a song called Happy with Rick James, and If I Were a Bell, B-E-L-L. She didn't care what a person's color was. She sang rhythm and blues from the time she was 16. She sang a rhythm and blues that the black culture of America adopted and called her the soul of white. And today, 2010, going on to 2011, here in just about 3 hours, it's going to be 2011 in New Zealand. My friends there at the pub that are listening to this show, by the way, guys, I know you're listening because I got a heads up. There's a pub there on Highway 8, ladies and gentlemen, about 58 to 62 miles due west of Dunedin. And they are having a joyous day because they themselves are living in a land where it's not pouring down rain and it's not snowing. and it's not hot. And they know who their neighbors are. To our friends in Brisbane, we're praying for you because we do know that you're under major floods. That's the Northwest Territory of Australia, ladies and gentlemen, in Queensland. They've had more rain, according to Megan, my webmaster. She says it hasn't rained this much since the days of Noah. But people are uniting in those countries to bring forth 2011. And here in the United States, what's happening in the news in the United States? Well, I'll give you a classic example if Don doesn't mind me ranting on a little more.
No, go ahead. I got some things I want to say, but you're doing okay. So go ahead.
The TV crews of Hawaii, Honolulu, specifically Channel 4, went out to shoot pictures early this morning, the 30th day of December, of President Obama, just after dawn. And the three women that came over from the Big Island, from a public access channel, which is Channel 4, did an intro on their cameras, and they went down the block where the road was that led up to where Barack Obama was, and they were confronted the gate guards, and the quote, "We just wanted to get a glimpse of the president," and they turn to their cameras and they say, "Okay, you know it, Obama. We're okay with you. We love you. We know that you're okay with us. We just wanted to get a glimpse of you, even at a distance. But we're moving on because we've been asked to move on because this is a private road. And we don't want to make anyone nervous. Hello, Mr. Obama. Hello, and God be with you." The newscaster waved to the building site that Obama was at. Now, we're not talking about in the middle of the day. We're talking about sunup. And they got in their car, and they left. And as they were driving off, Sherry Kane, the assistant producer for the radio station, turned on the cameras on the dash of her van and spoke into it. Quote, "Behind us, we have the Secret Service following us now. This is getting exciting." Ladies and gentlemen, exciting turned to scary, turned to Stalinism, turned to Nazism, as the three women pulled into a gas station a mile and a half away from where Obama was at and was surrounded by five police cars, two unmarked vehicles. And as they opened the door on both the passenger and the driver's side, an officer screamed at them, "Stay in the car. Turn that blankety camera off me." Stavia Jones is heard on the video dash camera and saying, "Okay." Stavia Jones' camera was grabbed away from her by a police officer. He yanked it out of her hand and then slammed the camera on top of the car, denting it, the van, and demanded that the women produce their IDs and their registration with no explanation why they were being detained or stopped. Three white women, all blonde. Without warning, an officer reached into the car and grabbed the portable camera that Jones had in the car and smashed it. Jones's fingers were gashed by the sharp edges of the camera mount. And what went down, ladies and gentlemen, was something that should never have happened in any state in the United States of America. You have all of these police officers that should be out looking for legitimate criminals who are really trying to harm the president. Instead, they're out there going after three women who are legitimate newscasters for public broadcasting network. The Secret Service has decided that they have not returned any calls from anybody. The local police department hasn't done anything. The commissioner of police hasn't done anything. What about the elected officials of the county government? I want to know what's wrong with America. Somebody asked me the other day, Drew, are a million people really leaving America and expatriating themselves to other countries? Ladies and gentlemen, let me throw this at you. All you got to do is call the United States State Department Freedom of Information request. Ask them for one. And one question. Pursuant to the laws of the United States, how many Americans are turning in their passports and expatriating themselves to other nations? Question number two, where are the majority of the people expatriating to? Question number three, are any expatriating to China, Russia, or India? Ladies and gentlemen, 230 years ago, we fought tyrants such as Lord North and the King of England because of the Stamp Act and the tax on tea and the billeting of soldiers in our homes and the raping and pillaging and manhandling of our women and children. What do you think? Do you think that somebody that is an airport being molested by a TSA officer is just being molested? That's raping. You can have rape without penetration and intercourse. You can be raped physically and mentally, and it lives with you forever as a PTSD problem. There are over 700, there are over 700,000 Americans who own a gun. There are over 70 million Americans that are registered gun owners, above and beyond the 700,000 who don't own a license or have registered their guns with the United States government. 70 million. The largest militia on the planet is found in three states combined. If you just look at the registered gun owners of Wisconsin, Michigan, in New Jersey. Put the rest of us together. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm a United States Marine. I took an oath to defend this nation from enemies foreign and domestic. I have been doing a rant, and I got a whole lot more to say. And I can document some of my stuff. But I'm going to turn this mic back over to Don Nikoloff because he bought this mic. It belongs to him.
It's yours. It's yours, Drew. It's a lot of fun to talk, isn't it, when your voice comes through clearly.
You have a good time. Hey, it's like, hey, what happened to Drew's voice? He sounds like a man. He doesn't sound like one of those squeaky clean guys.
You know, as you're talking, my mind is going over all the things that some of us exposed during the past year. We had many, many false flag events. You remember the Hardin, Montana episode, the swine flu? Hardin, Montana was this American police force wanting to take over the town of Hardin, Montana, where they had built a prison that was at the time unoccupied. And Dr. H. Ruott and I did quite a bit of research and determined that this was DynCorp. And we did exposés on the swine flu and the people that were promoting vaccinations or acting as if they were against vaccinations, but they were collecting hundreds of thousands of dollars from people all over the world, alleging that they had filed lawsuits, that the FBI was in Austria conducting an investigation. You remember that? You were part of that as well.
Part of it.
Okay. Then we had Fort Hood. And, of course, that got real quiet. Then we had the Gulf of Mexico. And there's still a lot of truth that has to come out about that. But we were very, very accurate in determining what was going on and who was involved. And pretty much every step of the way, this usurper in Washington, D.C., the guy who I now call the no-legged Mac Daddy, has been involved in it in some way. Backdoor deals, the real estate corruption, the corruption with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the bailouts, more than what Bush did at the end of his 8-year term, raping the economy and raping public property and privatizing it, sending the corporations. Then we had GM, if you remember that, and on and on and on and on. And we did our best to expose all this stuff. Meanwhile, we have space battles going on in our atmosphere, in our upper atmosphere. And there's a big controversy with what's going on in the moon. Overwhelming evidence that there's something going on in Mars. And I guarantee you, 2011 will be a time where more truth than ever before in the history of planet Earth will come out about all the corruption, all the backdoor deals, all the murder of journalists, talk show hosts, microbiologists, psychiatrists, psychologists, bankers, mortgage brokers, real estate agents. All of it will be exposed. You have my word on that. And I know.
Wait a minute, Don. It is being exposed.
It will continue to be exposed. Okay, it will continue, and to the point where there's no escape for those that have committed all these crimes against humanity around the world. The international banking corruption that affects all the listeners around the world tonight, in every single country that is listening to us, and in those that are not, either because they don't have electricity or they don't have enough money to listen on a radio or on a computer. The mass murder is going to be revealed. The mainstream media's part in the conspiracy to lie to the people of the world and to defraud the people of the world, that's going to come out. I know from the many discussions I had with Marianne Ponder that she wanted the truth to come out, and she wanted to see the world graduate to a state of peace, and that is possible. Looking at the evil, one would say, you know, that it's impossible just because the evil is so prevalent. But this is this web of deceit and corruption is being dismantled. It's falling apart under its own weight and under its own corruption. And I want to offer some hope to the people who are listening tonight, because we talk all year long about these dark subjects, and you're right to talk about that. We have to remind people that this is going on. But
I want to bring up some of the things that you brought forth, and then how about the conspiracy of water or the conspiracy of underground bases?
Oh, yeah.
I use the term conspiracy, but other people don't. But look at the theft of water from the Great Lakes, mm-hmm. Lake Superior. Look at the theft of water from Lake Mead. And the purchase of land mass by George W. Bush and family, purchasing the land mass area of the largest aquifer of fresh water in the world, located in Paraguay. Mm-hmm. Not in the history of man has a leader of any nation gone to another nation and bought up a bunch of land because water's underneath it.
Yeah, it's part of the corruption. And where did he get that money to do that?
That's a darn good question. And then look at the massive abuse of the Speaker of the House flying back and forth in her own private jet that she ordered. It's just barely a step down from the presidential Air Force One. The jet that Nancy Pelosi flew back and forth to California, costing you people out there $1 million a week.
Well, you had a president that went around on a jaunt just a month or so ago at an expense of $200 million a day, minimum.
And they try to answer that question, well, this really wasn't $200 million a day. But when you figure up all of the things that went with it, it is $200 million a day.
Yeah, and there's a heck of a lot that they didn't tell us that went on.
Oh, yeah, they come out and try to say, well, it only cost us about $700,000 a day. But they don't bother to throw all of the other things that go along with that the United States government puts out. This is worse, ladies and gentlemen, than in the days of Stalin.
And the negotiations on a trade agreement, what was the news we got? $10 billion contract for Boeing. $10 billion for Boeing, and they spent $2 billion in the process. We spent $2 billion, you see.
We, the American people. And then people look at me, Don, and they say, where do they get the money? Where's all the tax money coming from? We don't pay that much in income tax. Every time you pay a phone bill, a water bill, electric bill, your garbage bill, every time you buy a gallon of gasoline, anything that you buy that's involved in interstate commerce, it's got a federal tax on it. Just look at it. Look at your internet bill. Look at your telephone bill. These are bills everybody has. These are simple things that we can look at.
Oh, remember,
and Don, you know these things.
Yeah, remember the internet was supposed to be free. Remember, the taxpayers paid for it. It's going to be free. There's not a thing on the internet that's free. There's nothing free, other than listening to this radio show, or listening to your radio show, and yet there are costs involved in producing radio shows, in getting guests, in doing the research, in preparing for the show. This doesn't come out of thin air like a Federal Reserve note. You know, but I wanted to take a moment, Drew, and play a song that was written many, many years ago.
If you'll let me make one comment, because we need to let the people know that Google is as corrupt as the powers to be on the back doors that go into your home. You want to know more about Google, you can listen to my show tomorrow, Don. But yes, I'd like to hear something that was written how many years ago, 40?
It was about 38 years ago that this song was recorded by Donny Hathaway. And listen to the message here, because I know that this is prophetic. And I'm sure you'll agree. Thirty-eight years ago, Drew, Donny Hathaway said, "Take it from me, someday we'll all be free."
Amen.
We'll all be free. Not some of us.
Why has it taken, Don?
What's that?
Why has it taken 200 and 35 years for us to realize that man, regardless of race, creed, or color, or religion, belief, to understand that all men were created by one true God. Spartacus stood up centuries ago for freedom and fought the greatest nation in the world and almost brought down the Roman Empire. And could have, if he had sacked Rome with just a bunch of slaves. And those of you that think slaves are black, I got news for you. I got big time news for you. In 1780, 30% of the slaves in the colonies of the United States, to be exact, 32.1% of all slaves in all 13 colonies, and we exclude Vermont, Maine, Ohio, were white men and women. But the majority of those slaves that were 32% white were women. But you don't read that in the history books, do you, Don?
No, the history has been covered with its own tapestry. You know, those women you're talking about, many of them were making uniforms for wars, shoes, hats, and other things, we'll say. We don't have to go.
Well, they worked as housemaids. They worked as servants.
They worked on farms. Yeah.
You know, I mean, they didn't work in the fields as many people think all slaves worked in the fields, but they worked as house slaves. Even my own family had a white woman as a slave. The Raines Plantation had its own white lady that was a slave. She was a British woman. And my great-great-grandfather bought her for $2. For $2. And after she was a maid in the household for 7 years, he gave her $20 and told her she was free. And her statement to, according to the little memo here from my great-great-grandfather in the Bible, said that Maggie May does not want to return to England. And she doesn't want freedom. She will remain with us. Only now she has the right to take on a husband. Where am I going to find a man for Maggie May, who's 32 years old and never married? Ladies and gentlemen, 32 years old, she was a slave from the time she was 25. And my great-great-grandfather bought her for $2. What's wrong with history? It's not telling you the truth. That's what is wrong with the history. And you as Americans think you're free? You have no clue what free means. You have a license. You're not free. Liberty is free. Isn't that right, Don?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were talking about Marianne Ponder, and we've talked about this topic on some past shows. Why has she left us? Well, Marianne was murdered. Why was she murdered? Because she was going to start a foundation called Brothers House, which was to provide services and health care and a place to live and three square meals a day for returning veterans who had either lost their families or needed a place to stay because they had nowhere to go when they came back. And she had bought a piece of property and inherited some money with the passing of her mother, and she was in the process of building Brother's house.
She was she inherited a large sum, but she had a large sum of inheritance that was going to be coming in every year.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about a couple of $100s, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about tens of thousands of dollars. And she was murdered because money did not mean anything to her personally, except as a way and a means to help others. I quote my own verbiage, help others. And she was murdered. The greed, the failure to look into her death. But I can see her out there, Don, with a baseball bat pounding on the table. Go get him, go get him. I can just see it. She was a rouster. And yes, they may have taken her physical body, but I guarantee you they came nowhere close to taking her physical body and the belief in God the Father and Yeshua the Christ that you can take to the bank, ladies and gentlemen. This lady came from to help me. Was a little angel out of the wilderness when I was being attacked. And I was basically thinking about giving up. But she kind of took a baseball bat and slapped me on the back and woke me up. So.
And the rest is history.
The rest is history.
Well, Drew, here we are. We're on the precipice of a new year. And.
Really?
I would have never known it. I'm holding on to the faith that the truth is going to win out and this corruption is going to meet its end. It's going to fight. I mean, this is spiritual warfare.
That's a fact, because those of us that are real believers that have eyes to see, ears to hear, and in our heart belief, much like Don Nikoloff, when you open your, even the muddied word of God, the trashed version of the truth that is put out in the King James version of the Bible, you read the first verse. It specifically says, and the earth became void. How many of you have eyes to see, ears to hear, and the wisdom that Mary Ann Ponder had? Well, that tells me that there was an earth, and it was people and all kinds of animals, and it became void. That means it was destroyed. That was the first earth age, ladies and gentlemen. That is when the perdition turned on its creator, God, because he wanted to be Yeshua. He wanted to take the place of Yeshua the Christ. He wanted to be the superior. He did not want to be the cherub, the protector that Michael became. And ladies and gentlemen, the rest is real history, because we have what is referred to now as the New Testament and the Old Testament. What's coming? The New Testament? Because Don, I read the book. Not once. Not twice. Maybe I haven't spent the 60 hours of reading the Bible that Judge Napolitano spent reading the Patriot Act, but I read the last chapter pretty good, and we win. I'm sorry. The evil loses.
Yeah. And those that are going to bury their head in the sand act like ostriches. And remember, when an ostrich puts its head in the ground, its rear end is up in the air.
It's a big target, too.
Yeah. Yeah. They're going to have to face the reality of the amount of truth that's been coming out. You know, 4 years ago when I started talking about the trillions of dollars that was being embezzled and created out of thin air and played against the people to destroy corporations, to destroy jobs, to destroy families, to destroy single people's lives, and used to poison people, to intentionally poison the masses, whether it's through vaccinations or poisoning of the water or toxifying the food, the air with chemtrails, or spent on building underground bases or traveling to other planets. And yes, I did say that, other planets. And there is proof that we are on Mars. There's photographic proof that we are on Mars, Drew. And that'll be something that'll come out in 2011 as well.
You're talking to the choir here.
Yes, I know. But
I want the truth about the theft of water. And there's a lot of people out here, Don, that don't think they're stealing it. I actually get commentaries coming in, well, the Chinese are taking it because the American dollar ain't worth a flip, so they're taking water and replacing it. They're turning back treasury notes to the United States government for X amount of gallons of water they steal with their tankers. Ladies and gentlemen, what's more important?
They're not even using dollars now, Drew. You know, they've shirked the dollar, as the Russians have.
And they're not the only ones.
Yeah.
And there's other nations in South America that are going to collapse when we collapse, Don, because the people in Costa Rica, the people in Paraguay, the people in Chile, the people in Peru, in Panama.
Argentina.
They use the American dollar just like we use it here in the United States. Your guest last night made your show for the week. And ladies and gentlemen, if you missed Don Nikoloff's show last night, you need to be paying attention to his show with this individual, because this man is wiser than all of us.
Well, you're talking about Adrian Salbucci.
Adrian Salbucci. And he has it amazes me that he stays up so late, because he's basically on the same time frame as I am.
Well, actually, he's an hour ahead of me on the East Coast, so he came on the show at 3 o'clock in the morning.
In the morning, his time. I didn't realize he was an hour ahead. I didn't know he was on the eastern side of Argentina.
Yeah, yeah.
And yes, you're right. On the eastern side of Argentina, I thought he was on the western side of Argentina, which is my time zone. But if he's on the eastern time, the eastern part of Argentina, he's on the east coast of time plus an hour. Golly. 3 o'clock in the morning over there.
Yeah, we had a great discussion, and the parallels, you see, who's causing all of this stuff, the infiltration? We've exposed this. I've been exposing this in my journalism since 2007, January of 2007. In a few days, it'll be 4 years ago. I'm not the first to write about the Nazis infiltrating, the communists, the Zionists, the fascists infiltrating this country. It's still going on. And that's why we're attacked. That's why our character is attacked. That's why our radio shows are attacked. We're still here. We're still here. You see, those are the authors of fear. Those are the authors of Satanism on this planet. These are the evil ones. And all of that's going to be taken care of. All of that's going to be dealt with. There'll come a time when people will look back on this night and others when we've stated the same thing and say, well, they told us the truth and they were right.
It's just like all the attacks these last 10 days on me. And one of the guys that that's a member of Blog Talk who has a radio station in Panama told me, he says, and I quote him from memory, and that maybe it's a paraphrase quote. He tells me, I don't know how you do it, but I'm glad you do it. People need to stand up and give those of us that are little guys a place to find the truth, because the truth is so hard to find. Brave words from a former United States Air Force colonel who expatriated to Panama with his Swedish wife. He wanted to live in a warm place, Don.
Well, you see, and you're describing all of these former military personnel who have moved on. They've met someone from another part of the world. They've fallen in love. They're raising a family. They're doing something positive with their lives. And they wonder why people here in this country can't do the same thing.
Exactly.
And there's an apathy. There's an ignorance. There's a laziness and a false pride. And it all centers on ego and ego gratification, greed, and this idea that, I don't want to make any waves. Well, who's making waves? What are waves when you're dealing with the truth? You see, many people don't care to know. They don't really care to know who they are. They never question why they're here. These are questions you've got to ask yourself if you're going to know who you are. Of course, some people don't care. They just don't care. But those aren't the people that are going to make the changes anyway. We don't have to concern ourselves with those people. And as the human population of the world becomes more robotized through all the programming and the mind control and the deprivation of healthy food and a healthy ecosystem, healthy air to breathe, healthy water to drink, they'll get sicker and sicker. And then they'll ask, well, help me. Can't you help me? Why doesn't anybody help me? And you really got to learn to help yourself first before anyone else is going to help you.
Do you know, Don, my great-grandfather lived in North Louisiana on a plantation that he inherited, and 99.5% of all the food that was eaten in his household was raised on the farm right there. 99.5%. Today, when you ask young people where the food comes from, they tell you it comes from the grocery store. but they don't understand what a farm is. It's all that's something that's on the television set. You ask them where milk comes from, and they'll tell you it's a grocery store. You ask them where the beef comes from, and they'll say the supermarket. They have no clue. I'll throw one last thing onto that. Even 50 years ago, my grandmother made her own dresses to go to work in. When I was 10 years old, my grandmother made her own dress that was a dress-up dress so she could go to church in a new dress for Easter. It was stunning. The pattern for the dress cost $2. 1/20th of her weekly salary. My mother was a registered nurse. She made $78 every 2 weeks take home. She made a house payment. She raised children. She made sure that we had dentists. She made sure we had piano lessons, ballet lessons, tap dance lessons, shoes on our feet, clothes on our back. And today, women don't even know where their children are when they get out of school. My mother would have a hemorrhoid if I did not report home before she went to work on the 3 to 11 shift. And when she worked the 11 to 7 a.m. shift as a registered nurse, I had 10 minutes, 15 max, to go from the elementary school to the house, approximately 3/4 of a mile, a walk. And if I wasn't there and she came out and got me, I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. There was a razor strap at the house waiting for me. And I was told to grab my ankles and bend over. And I did get a whack on the posterior of my pants for every minute that it took my mother to come get me. It only happened 4 times when I was in elementary school. But the respect that I have for my mother today and the things that she did without to allow me to get a master's degree in electronic engineering, allow me to be a decorated United States Marine, allow me to be a real estate broker, allow me to love not an individual woman, but to love humanity. My mother and my grandmother, I salute them. Because they taught me morals. They taught me respect. Not just of a family, but respect for all people, regardless of color, regardless of what they believed in. And Don Nikoloff, I appreciate you allowing me on your show to let the world know as we close out 2010. I'm a United States Marine, and I'm not going to go quietly in the night, and I'm going to fight for Yeshua the Christ, God the Father, and for liberty for all people of all nations on this planet. And if they take me out in the physical, all they've done is put one more spirit in the army of St. Michael. Thank you, Don.
Thank you, Drew. Well said. And it's been an honor for me to have you on this show the entirety of 2010. And I look forward to continued broadcasts in 2011. And mark my words.
I want bacon and eggs next week.
The truth will come out. All of it. The truth will come out in 2011. Drew, I want to wish you a happy new year. Much success with your show, A Marine's Disquisition, heard on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on the internet on blogtalkradio.com. You take care, and I'll be talking to you next
month. Let me wish the boys and the girls and the gang at the Dunedin Pub in New Zealand, you got 3 hours and 33 minutes to New Year's 2012. I hope and pray that you'll have a drink on me, because I'll send the money to the pub. God bless you guys down there, and thank you for the support.
All right, Drew. All right. You have a good night. You have a happy new year, and I'll see you on your show next Monday and on my show next year on Thursday night.
Wait a minute. That's next year for me, too.
I know. All right, folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting the show either live or on an archive. I want to wish all of you folks out there around the world a very happy new year. Over at BBS Radio, special thanks to Don Newsom on the sound tonight, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night, New Year's Eve, special broadcast to take us into the new year with scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher, Mr. Jim Murray. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.